Good morning. Today is Thursday, 18th of March. You know, you're going to have to take that thing off in order to talk.
Why?
Wow, he's ugly.
I mean, I have the face for radio. You've known that forever.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're covering it up, though.
Yeah, I
that is appreciated.
Yeah, I even wore the suit for the first time since since yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm back into the shorts a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I usually expect to see a tie out of you or something, but holy smokes.
That was day before yesterday and yesterday, not today.
Oh, that's what they all say, yesterday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Tomorrow, free beer tomorrow.
Hey, look, at least I'm not wearing the knee brace.
Oh, that's an ugly scar, though. Maybe it should be on there, covering that up.
All right, so much for physicality. Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools is with us. You've not even seen this book, have you?
But you've asked questions out of it.
You're darn right.
I've wondered why I haven't seen that book.
Yeah. Smart. All right, we're gonna do that, okay?
So did you have your corned beef and cabbage last night?
No. We went, can I name drop a sponsor? We went to Seamus.
Oh, okay.
Spent some time with Chris and saw Jimmy Pastore there, so... Yeah. We didn't think we had green drinks. I think Ange may have found a new one that she will recall regularly.
Well, that means that she doesn't like it that much if she'll recall it regularly.
Well, that means we don't go out that often.
Yes, both could be true.
Yes. So, no, we didn't do the corned beef. We went with barbecued beef.
All right. All right.
Yeah. North Coast tradition.
Yes.
Did you guys?
Yeah, we did, yes. Corned beef and cabbage.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now I can understand not having pickled herring and celebrating that from your background. Is anybody Irish in the family?
No. But my mom used to love corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it brought back memories.
I like the cabbage. As much as I do, you know, just boiled cabbage and throw a little butter and mustard on it and call it done.
Oh, I like the corned beef. I like the cabbage. I like it all. The potatoes.
You got to get the good corned beef, though. I mean, there's nothing getting a fatty one.
This one was lean. It was made out of tri-tip, so it was pretty lean.
Oh, well, that's like cheating.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
So you really didn't have corned beef in either.
Well, tri-tip still beef.
Maybe it's better you stay in your office and call in. All right. Our Ever Wonder Why. Ever wonder why people's teeth chatter when they get scared?
I would have to imagine it has to do with adrenaline and being able to control the adrenaline within their body, and that's just an escape of some nervous energy through the adrenaline.
By golly, I think you got close on this one, too. When a person experiences great fear, his or her body automatically prepares itself for defense, right? The fight or flight thing. It does this in part by contracting certain muscles that will be needed if the person chooses to fight, and certain other muscles he will need if he elects to flee. F-L-E-E, flee. Since the teeth and jaws are one's primary means of defense, the body automatically gets those ready for action whenever a person is confronted with a threatening situation. It does this by contracting the muscles in the jaw, causing the jaw muscles to shiver. It's this shivering that makes the teeth chatter. Similarly, the body contracts the muscles in the legs to prepare a person to run, and this causes the leg muscles to shiver. This is why some people's knees knock together when they're frightened.
Hmm. Interesting. You
know, it is kind of weird. I'm thinking about it just for a sec. It is kind of weird when you get into a situation. I mean, for me, it's like movies because I do not like scary, frightening surprise. I mean, Jaws screwed me up for a year and a half.
You realize that that is all fake, right?
Oh, logically. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, maybe I don't even think I could see it if I watched it being filmed. So I really knew. Nah. Yeah. My face is tired. My jaws get tired because I'm always clenching, you know, the suddenness and the legs.
See, I'm kind of the interesting thing. I hate slapstick comedy.
Oh, I like Mel Brooks comedy, not like vaudevillian or...
I'm talking the slapstick like Dumb and Dumber. Not the traditional old stuff. Of course, that's traditional and old now, but
yeah.
It just bugs me because I'm like, why are you doing that? That's just dumb.
Stupid is not funny for me. It's frustrating also.
Yep.
But somebody like Carlin?
Carla.
Carlin.
Oh, Carlin, yes.
George.
Got it.
Remember him?
Johnny Carson. I didn't know who Carla was.
Robin Williams, Jonathan Winters. Remember those guys? Yeah.
Yes.
All night long.
Yeah.
All night long because they're creative. Anyway, so are you getting any relief from the state? I know certainly the governor doing his thing with the big bucks threw that out. Are you able to start implementing any of those measures yet?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Man, I'm going to say something that probably shouldn't say, and that is money's flowing into schools like it's going out of style right now. And I have never been one to complain about money coming into schools, but right now there is a lot of money coming into schools. And just to put it in perspective, Eureka City Schools has a $50 million annual budget. And in relief funds, in addition to the $50 million, we're talking about $22 million infused in the past year. It's just a crazy amount of money, and it just makes me pause and wonder what's the plan when the printing presses break down.
Now, is it all earmarked dollars or categorical funding? I think is now the cool word instead of dollars with strings attached, like the old days.
Yeah, well, categorical funding was in vogue back in the
late 90s. Oh, is that old now, too?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. What's it called now?
Categorical.
Okay.
It is. It's so there's different pots of money. There's three big pots that came from the federal government, which are ESSER funding, ESSR is the acronym for whatever the COVID relief is there. And then we also have the state relief funding.
So it's not all from Newsom trying to maintain his status as governor?
So out of the state of California, $2.7 million for the reopening of schools, and then for the extended school year program, then an additional $1.2 million for the reopening of schools, specifically for Eureka City Schools.
Ah, we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Fred, before the break, you were talking about the fire hose of funding has been opened and the hydrant is flowing. You never hear that school districts have too much money. Okay, so you kind of ran upstream on that one. With the dollars that are there, are there chances to have some of the deferred purchases that are classroom based to be purchased? I mean, if you got the money, okay, we've already had that fight. Yes or no, lost that one. But here it comes. So is there a chance to do something above and beyond, or is this, you know, backfill like all the laptop computers you guys had to buy, and then the next round you're going to have to buy in 3 or 4 years when somebody says that those things are too old, or Microsoft does another one of those Microsoft 10 things and say, sorry, you know, everybody needs the update.
So I'm going to be the stereotypical educator and complain about the money we're getting.
Okay.
And here's the downside.
Well, at least you can't slip on the fence on that one and hurt yourself.
And the problem with the money that's coming is it's one-time dollars. And so where we really need some help is we would like to hire some people to do some of this learning loss mitigation that's happened in the distance learning. Really work on catching some of these
students.
You
mean summer school?
Summer school's happening. Big program, K-12.
Full-on, regular, like the old days?
Like the old days. Like the old days.
Or like the days that were missed?
More, a little bit of both. Okay. Because we're going to have a dual focus in summer school. It's going to be for both social-emotional health, which means classes that are going to be like your traditional arts classes and classes just to get kids on
the
campus.
The fun classes.
And get them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And then we're going to have the remediation also, and those are the classes where kids failed and aren't doing very well, and they've got to come back in.
What about the regular college track stuff, too?
It'll be there.
So it's just going to be regular school.
Yep.
So to speak.
Pretty much. It'll be a different schedule. It'll probably, the high school will be 5 days a week. The elementaries will probably be 4 days a week. We're going
to. Just to screw up the parents?
We're going to work with the city to make sure we don't screw up the parents and plan our summer school around some of their camps and some of the programs that they're going to do so we can provide full days because we're talking about 5 hours. And then we're talking with the city about some of their programs and providing busing to some of their programs so we can stretch those out.
Wait a minute, 5 hours?
Yes.
That's 9 to 2?
Well, you probably have a lunch in there, probably like an 8 to 1. And then we'll
those used to be early out days.
Yeah.
What happened? Or parent-teacher conference weeks?
It's summer school. It's summer school. And so parents will get the option. And the reason we're doing 4 days is a lot of parents like to go do things during the summer. But we're also going to work on having programs so the parents that have to work and they're doing 5 days, we're going to have options for them as well so they can put their children in and depend on the system to be there 5 days a week.
So maybe those will be the fun class days?
Those will likely be
activity, that kind of stuff.
Well, it's going to be both because we're going to have fun activity days during the week as well, depending on what the students sign up for. It's going to be a myriad of programs, a lot of different things out there.
Now, it is we've come to understand that the colleges and the universities don't give a lot of the high school kids fun classes, fun days because they need to have X number of units in this and X number of units in that. Has there been a relaxation or an adjustment there so that the kids can take these classes if they're in the 10th probably through 12th, and that it would be recognized as a class? Or are they going to be behind the eight ball or having to take early classes or go out to CR and take additional units to hit those numbers that were in place before?
These will be recognized as a class, and what the code, education code requires is 120 hours of seat time in order to get 5 credits. So we will provide that 120 hours to those students to get those 5 credits. So there will be credits earned in the high school level, and that will be 8th graders coming in, potential to earn credits because we're going to push kids up. So if you're an 8th grader, you'll go to the high school for summer school. If you're a 5th grader, you'll go to the middle school for summer school. And so the credits will be there for the high school. The elementaries and middles just work on a different program, so they're not going to be credit-based, but they're still going to be that same 120 hours. That's truly what we're targeting. The elementary and middle schools will be a split schedule, 3 weeks in the beginning of the summer, 3 weeks before school starts. So it's a boost on both sides, and then that break in the middle of the summer.
So pretty much July 4th to August 1st is off?
Yeah, pretty much the month of July is off, yep.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
correct. For the middle schools and the elementary schools, the high school is going to go straight through for their 120 hours and do it more compressed and next to each other.
Now, the types of classes that are going to be offered in this transition semester, are they the types that a college recognized? I mean, I would have loved to take watercolor, but, you know, it just wasn't going to help and wouldn't be recognized.
It is truly going to be driven by student interest. And so our step right now
is... But do the colleges and universities recognize that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're not going to be behind the eight ball if Eureka High decides that they want to have whatever it is.
As long as they do their 120 hours and they do their work, they will get credit at the high school for the course. Yes.
That's almost refreshing. This could be a new model coming out. I mean,
could be
different. And certainly I would think unless there's really the driving need for a summer income. And I suspect with the minimum wage having to go up that there's less and less jobs there. Maybe this is the new way to do it.
Could be. We're also talking about extending the school year. 180 days is where we've been, and we're talking about adding additional days onto the school year. Of course, that's negotiable. We have to go through that process.
Yeah.
But yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Fred, this concept of the schools and what you can, what you can't, what the calendar is, what you can, what you can't, I know that's all handled in labor negotiations. Do they tend to be heated discussions about those dates? Or is that, you know, I mean, 180 days is 180 days, and if we teach more during the year, that means we have a longer summer. Okay, either way we win. Whatever works best for the system. Thank you very much. Next item.
So the number of school days is driven by the educational code. So
that's not negotiable.
That's not negotiable. What is so 180 days is 180 days. What is negotiable is if you do anything beyond that. So let's say we decided to go to 185 days. Then we'd have to sit down and negotiate with our association the impact of those 185 days on them.
You just wouldn't figure out, okay, your salary is blank, divide that by 180, multiply that by 5. That's the plus kicker. Thank you very much, and move on.
It
seems simple and pretty straightforward, but you never hear that stuff is simple and straightforward.
Well, you can't just add work days to people's calendars without negotiating it. I mean, that's just
no. If they say, yeah, well, we're okay with an extra week, yeah, okay, but we want compensation for it,
right?
At the same rate as we had for the others, so it'll be X amount of dollars more for the labor cost.
Right. Well, that's all negotiable, and they can put down what they think those extra days should be worth and what they should be cost.
What you're saying is. No, no way. It never is. Sounds like it ought to be, but
no,
it
isn't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this negotiable. What I will say, and I'm proud to say this, our relationship with the associations in Eureka City Schools is tenfold better what it was 9 years ago when I first came to the district. It's taken a lot of time and a lot of effort, and here's where the negotiations get tough. And I'll come out right out and call a spade a spade. Our teachers work really hard to do what's right for students, and probably 8 or 9 times out of 10, what's best for students and what's best for teachers align. Where it gets difficult is when what's best for students is in conflict with what's best for teachers. And so, for instance, is anytime you start talking about money, what's going to be best for students?
Yeah, a retirement plan doesn't benefit the students.
Right, right. And so that's going to create some controversy because we want to spend our money on educating students inside the classroom, and teachers, of course, want to maximize their compensation. And that's not unique to teachers. It's not unique to...
No, it's people.
Right, exactly. And so it creates that conflict at times when you're dealing with your associations and working through some of those conversations. Now, when it's difficult is when there's not a lot of trust between the association and the district. That's when you fight over everything. And I'm happy
that... But isn't all that quantified and written down on paper? Or is it the interpretation of what's on paper?
Yeah.
Or is this the discussion before it gets rendered to paper?
Well, let me give you a for instance. We have a CBA, collective bargaining agreement, and in our collective bargaining agreement, our contract, another way to look at it, is all the rules of what we do. There's nothing in the collective bargaining agreement that talks anything about what do you do when COVID comes. And so you have to sit down and you have to talk through the situation.
Do you have something about earthquakes?
Nope. So
interruption? I mean, is there a broad stroke of interruption of classroom instruction?
Nope, not addressed in there.
Well, that kind of seems a little short-sighted in an earthquake country.
Well,
or a flood country.
Well, we have a safety plan. And we have a district-wide safety plan, but that's not negotiated. That's a safety plan. It's not part of the working conditions of the teachers. And what a contract, and that's basically what it is about compensation and working conditions for teachers. And so anytime you get outside, and I'm generalizing, it's not just teachers. It's certificated employees. It's our classified employees.
Just labor agreements.
Right, right. All the administrators, they don't have a contract. So,
Oh, you guys are all at will?
Absolutely, yep. So, well, not quite at will. We're at the mercy of the code, the educational code, and that's what we govern us by. So, for instance, the board can come in on any given night and say, well, Dr. Van Vleck, we're done with you. We don't want you working for the district anymore. Okay.
Even though you have a contract?
Well, I have a contract, and that contract specifically lays out what they have to do if they say they don't want me to work for them anymore.
Oh, okay.
But my contract doesn't lay out what happens in COVID. It lays out how many days of the year I work, that sort of thing. But it's my contract is three pages long. The collective bargaining agreement with the Teachers Association is 100 pages long. So, it's very, very different world. Very different world.
We've always known that. Speaking of different worlds, all this, and I'll call it hullabaloo because I don't think I've been too damaged permanently.
Are you throwing that out there to debate?
That could be a question for debate. Dr. Seuss and this whole thing. I mean, do the public schools use Dr. Seuss? Are they in there? I know what was the case 50 years ago when I went through, but currently is the Dr. Seuss, is Cat in the Hat still in there?
Well, absolutely. Dr. Seuss is all over our schools and in our libraries. There's a Dr. Seuss Day that many of our schools have celebrated for years and years. And so he's certainly alive and well and around in our schools.
Plans to change?
At this point, from my perspective, no plans to change. That's a board level decision, though. If a board comes to me and tells me that they want to make a change in that because that's all driven by board policy, then we'll make the change. But at this point, there has been no progress in that direction at this point.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. With all this money coming in, how's the determination of where the dollars are going to be spent if you have that flexibility? Is it advisory boards? Is it the Parent Teachers Association? Is it the school advisory committees? Is it the unions? Is it the school board? Is it you guys? I mean, if everybody had a piece of that one, it'd take you 10 years before you figure out how to spend it, and it'd probably all be gone by then anyway.
Well, there's an expiration date to a lot of the money. For instance, some of the state money will be expiring this next fall, so it has to be spent relatively soon. And so we have to be very cognizant of when the fiscal end of those dollars are, because if we don't spend them, they go away. So with that being said, there's several plans. Number one, the plan which is driven by the school board, and that's our strategic plan, which has a fiscal accountability portion to it and then also prioritizes our programs in the district. And there's a lack of money, we cut from the lowest priority to the highest. And when there's money coming in, we fund from the highest priority down to the lowest.
So you won't backfill the ones that got cut?
No, we will. Okay. We will. And so, the interesting thing is there's 17 objectives inside of there, and everything that's needed in those objectives is funded. It's the wants that are above the needs where you start going when you have any type of surplus money. And so if you're at the top of the priorities, there's a lot more wants filled than there are towards the lower end. The second piece is there's a plan that we have to have in place adopted by the board for the spending plan for the state dollars. So that will happen in June. And then the third piece is we have a local control and accountability plan, which is the biggest part of our budget for the school district. And we're in the process of doing the parent surveys right now. If you're a parent that's interested in doing that, go visit our website. You can fill in those surveys and be a part of your input putting into how we spend the dollars that go in our local control and accountability
plan. What if you're just a regular old taxpayer?
You can fill it in too.
Oh, we have a little input.
Absolutely. Be my guest. Well, yep. You're not a regular old taxpayer. You pay a lot of taxes,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, fine. Thanks. So and then you guys you're just going to have to move fast.
Correct. Yep. We have to put our plans in place, and we have to move very quickly. That's the nice piece about having a strategic plan in place, so we're ready to act quickly based upon direction the board has already approved and provided.
Now, is this going to supplement what the governor is proposing for next year's budget, or are you treating this kind of as a separate aspect and you're not going to necessarily connect the two?
So candidly, the windfall of money is coming from the federal government. The money coming from the state fund is out of the Prop 98 guarantee. That was something that was designed to put a base for school funding years ago. It's actually now the ceiling and the base for school funding. And so the extended school year program and the reopening of schools is actually money pre-funded to schools out of next year's budget, which should have come in next year's budget. So that's not a big windfall as compared to what the federal government is.
Summer school starts middle of June?
Summer school is going to start right after school's out.
Happy times,
yep.
This summer, yes.
Which is middle of June. Both
That's
are
okay.
true.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.